Happy Monday, everybody. We're going to get started momentarily. I pray everybody's having a blessed day and a blessed week so far. Hey, what's up, Brother Brown? All right. Thank you so much and welcome into the Transportation and Logistics Podcast powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humblebee Enterprises. I'm very excited to be here with a special guest. We got Kips Burkhead, CEO of Kips Ships. And before we begin, I just want to start by saying this. You know, your boy is now in his 30s, and it's safe to say I've made my fair share of mistakes. I have gotten a solid foundation of life experiences, those experiences which, you know, essentially make me who I am. I've had successful and failed attempts, and, you know, I'm humble because I understand that I've been granted grace, even when it wasn't deserved. So, you know, how can you not be humble when you understand that kind of thing? And this is, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this. I've been operating a business for a couple years now, and I have not, until this day, I have not officially gotten a business mentor. I got people who I look up to and I can ask questions of, but nobody that has literally been keeping me accountable. So I say that, I open this up with that statement to say that I officially submitted to get a SCORE mentor. And if you guys don't know what SCORE is, it's basically a free resource in most cities, especially major cities across America. But essentially you can go to score.org and just sign up to get a mentor. You let them know what you're interested in, what places you need development in. And these are seasoned veterans, whether they are still practicing in the industry or they have recently retired, they are assigned to you so that you can get your information, get your counseling, get your coaching, get your mentorship. So I would encourage you guys to look into it if that's something that you're interested in. It only helps. So I'm going to keep you updated on my journey with, you know, going through the SCORE process. But yeah, that's what I wanted to start this off with. And Kips, how you feeling today, brother? Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Oh, there it is.
There we go. Boom. Hey, brother, how you feeling?
A little embarrassed, actually. Don't put me in charge of this part of the business. Zoom scared me for the last couple of years, and now I found a new foe.
No, it's cool.
It's technology I don't know how to use yet.
No, you're good, brother. You're good. Everything is good. Thank you so much for joining us here. How are you doing today, brother? And while you're answering that, please also lead into, have you ever thought about getting a business mentor, or do you have a business mentor?
So I'm doing well. Actually was emailing with one of my business mentors earlier today.
Okay.
I have a couple of coaches, I have one coach work with me now, and then a couple other people here in town. It's just sort of, you know, I can bounce ideas off of.
Okay.
And that's important. Very important.
Okay. Well, cool. How did you get to the point that you said, you know what, I need this in my life as I'm going through this journey? And why do you have multiple?
Okay. Yeah. So the reason I have it is, you know, I'm, you know, started a business, Kip Ships, in 2021, really got it going in 2022. And then, but we sort of reached a level where we got some steadiness going, but I needed to try and get it to the next level. And that's when I had to, you know, after banging my head against the wall for a little while, reached out to some people that are that can help me get to that next level. And then I have multiples because we have multiple projects going on. So different people assist with different things that I'm working on, you know, okay, whatever their expertise may be. So somebody might have a great expertise in the foundations of a startup. But somebody else might have tremendous expertise in just logistics, and that's what they do. Or they might have expertise in sales, and that's really their thing. And I need, you know, nobody can be an expert at everything. So to say why I have multiple coaches, because I don't know if you watched the NFL playoffs this weekend, but I saw more than one coach on the field. You can't have one person do everything. You need people to, help out different things, in their areas of expertise. So that's what I do.
Yes,
We'll see how
sir.
it works.
Well, I love it. I mean, I think that's some of the best advice that I got in all of 2021, which was, you can't do everything. You should be focused on building your team. And I read a book. I was recommended a book, Who, Not How. Who it basically says the same exact thing. You don't need to focus on specializing in every aspect. You just need to learn how to find folks who are already skilled in that aspect and bring them onto your team. It might cost you something, or you might make less of a percentage because you're splitting it, but you get what you need and you save your time of having to actually become an expert in that area. So yeah, I appreciate you for that background. And to get started, how did you get into logistics? Because just looking at your background, I know you've done quite a few things, some even international, but how did you get into logistics?
It's a that is a story of I was in 2020. It gets a little complicated here. In 20 in 20 in 2019, I studied to be a shoemaker in Florence, Italy. At a place called Stefano Bemer, very famous, or not very famous, but a very historical shoe company there. And we learned how to make them from beginning to end. So, Jory, I can measure your foot, build a last for you, and build a shoe on top of it, and it'll be specialized for you. The problem is I can't make a very good shoe. So I got out of it, but that side of it. And so I came to New York, for a couple months, and it's a little weird that they had a store there, but at the time they had a another floor on the top of the store, where I could live for free. So I did that. I ended up getting a job at another company called Santoni. However, when that happened, that was the same week that they did the what it's called shelter in place. And
Shelter in place because of the pandemic.
because of the pandemic, and so I lost my job with Santoni. So if my friend Stefano Bemer said, "Kips, can you find us a warehouse?" And that I had nothing but free time at that time. It's July of 2020, and I start researching warehouses, and I learn about the third party logistics business, and that's really kind of what led me to it. Was there was a desperation because there was no job in New York, and at that time, when I would try to even apply for a job, nobody would even respond. Not a single response. I mean, not one, Jory. I'm not exaggerating. I couldn't get anybody on the phone to even reach out.
Oh,
So,
and what type of stuff were you looking for? Like more, fashion or anything?
fashion at that time. At that time,
Okay.
and then I. But there, nobody would even talk to me. So I said, "All right, forget it. I'll go, I'm not going to be a statistic here and some casualty of the pandemic. I'm going to go find a way out of this hole." And that's what got me into the business. And that led me
Okay.
to Savannah, Georgia, where I am today.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now I've been there. Not with a pandemic on my neck, but I did. I got into this side of the game because I got fired from a very, very stuffy job in big law, and I didn't know what to do with my time. I know I needed to make some money, and thank God I was hired on to a position that introduced me to domestic truckload and how to build these skills in that arena. So I've been there, brother, and I know that had to be very, very scary for you. So you said that you opened this bad boy in 2021. That was kind of like when truckload. Full truckload and shipping and transportation and freight transportation was taken off. How long did it take you to get your first customer, your first shipper?
So we'll go a little further into this. I actually decided to start my own 3PL warehouse. I don't know who's listening to us right now, but I can tell you, if you've never worked in a warehouse at all, do not start your own warehouse. That was a terrible decision on my part.
It sounds like it, my guy.
my neighbor at that warehouse was expanding, and they needed my part of the building for expansion. And I needed to get out of that warehouse because, like I said, it was not going well. It was not going my way. So I said, "Would you guys like to take over the lease?" And they did. And they said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I think I'm going to be a freight broker." And they said, "Well, we have some containers that need to be moved. Can you do that?" And I said, "Absolutely." So the first day was the first day I got my first load.
Oh, wow. But well, that wasn't your first day, though. You had already taken a huge leap of faith by acquiring yes. warehouse space, because that's not an average, everyday thing to do, my guy. Like, no. You got to know that. Like, matter of fact, where did you get the confidence to say, you know what, I'm going to sign this lease to get on, you know, this warehouse? How did that come about? Like, man.
That was a desperation, really. I'm not going to lie to you. The first days, like when we were starting that business, I was I did not feel good in my stomach, Jory. It was nerve wracking.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, anybody that says they start a new business and they had the utmost confidence and wasn't nervous, they're lying. You gotta be nervous. But the confidence just came, you know, I don't know where that confidence came from. I think that was just desperation. I think today I'm a much more confident human being than I am that day. It's a good question.
Okay.
But I will say this, though. Bouncing back from the failure of opening my own warehouse was a huge confidence boost. It taught me that the water's not too cold. Get in there. It's not too bad. You can do things. And that's got me looking into doing other things now today. So while I will say to any of your listeners, Don't sign a lease to a warehouse if you don't have any experience. I will say, don't be afraid to start your own business. It's not that it looks cold, but it's not. Just jump in, you're good to go. And it'll be the best time of your life.
Gotcha. So I even struggle with this right here myself, because in my plan eventually is to own a warehouse, to operate a warehouse. And I thought I had to work in a warehouse, learn every role so that I can manage it myself. And it was my wife to say, "Jory, you can definitely hire people to do this. If you're in this warehouse only for that, you can pivot and do other things in supply chain." So I was there.
To that, I would say your wife is correct, especially coming off of the dispatching that you've been doing. You're more familiar with everything. That's not an insane pivot to start your own warehouse that way. Not at all. I like that move, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel good now. You know, now that I've made the decisions and I'm at where I'm at, I definitely feel well-rounded and well-grounded. That's the beauty to me of supply chain. I feel like no matter what you do in supply chain, if you wanted to pivot to another area, it all works together. So you're just more skilled in some other facet, but it only helps you in the long run. And so that's my viewpoint on supply chain, and that's why I'm here to stay. So with you got your first customer your very first day. Do you feel like that allowed you to get more customers pretty quickly because you had your first one on day one?
No. They had very limited supply. they were a two-door warehouse, and they were a fulfillment center. So they aren't transloading all day. They don't have containers going back and forth all the time. They might have one a week. I had to find some other people, and that had a lot to do with just making friendships around the town of Savannah, and that was I was on the phone with a buddy of mine. His name was Steven, and I was saying, you know, he said, "Kips, what are you doing?" I said, "Making some cold calls," And he's like, "What are you doing that for?" Like, "Because I need freight, Dave. Why else?" He's like, "No." He's like, "We got freight. We need trucks now. My company needs it right now." I said, "Steve, what the heck are we doing?" Like, let's go. And that's that really got things going. That customer turned into, at that time, I want to say 4 or 5 containers a day. That really got it going. And once you got something steady going, then you could find new stuff. Then you had time to approach new, shippers. And you also had the confidence in you, knowing that you've provided a service to others and they're happy with the results of that service. That getting that first consistent lane was huge.
Right. I can
And
imagine. I could definitely imagine that being a game changer because you said that you signed the warehouse lease out of desperation. And I've been there. I've been there. But you smell of desperation when you're trying to sell something to somebody and getting that customer, that consistent lane to make sure at least all your immediate needs are taken care of. Oh, that does give you a different level of comfort, and now you can be yourself versus just trying to close and get somebody on the impulse who doesn't want to, who's not interested in spending money in the first place. So yeah, no, I hear you, brother. I hear you. Do you
100%,
feel
100%.
like going that route and going this path, you've kind of built up any efficiencies that now enable you to get customers, shippers a little easier?
No, not in that regard. We have gotten efficiencies in the way that we once we get a customer onboarded, we found efficiencies there to speed up the process of getting the quotes out, getting the rate confirmations, all that out. As far as finding new shippers, that is a battle that we're still fighting today. We're constantly looking for new ways to do it. But that's not an easy task at all. But I guess we've done some things that we learned some lessons. That's not actually, I take that back, Jory. That's not entirely true. I do know ways that and people to contact when I need a load, or need some more when it's getting a little dry, who I can contact, and how to go about it in terms of communication and
Like,
actually calling.
my bad. My phone just started ringing. I don't even know if I interrupted you. I was about to say, like, can you speak on those? Like, what would you say? What type of efficiencies do you feel like you would be able to share to somebody right now who's maybe in your spot from a year ago or a year and a half ago?
Contact a freight forwarder is what I would, what I do. 100%. Contact them. They have freight, and lots of times they don't have. That's not really what they do. Is they don't always find drivers. Some do, some don't, but a lot don't. And you can get a lot of freight going that way. That would be my recommendation. If you're anywhere near freight forwarders, contact them.
Okay.
They're all over the place. That's been our most consistent customer. We haven't really been able to, because what you gotta get away from is you don't want to bid against 100 other freight brokers. That's just a race to the bottom. And I was talking to some guys up in Charlotte, and they were, there were at times where they had to operate at a loss on a load because they promised they could get it at 1350, but they really couldn't get it for, moved for less than 1450, for example. Which, that's obviously not acceptable. You can't be paying the drivers more than you're taking in. You'll go out of business that way.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. Not sustainable at all.
So that's what so you don't want to get in those battles for 100 people. With 100 people, avoid those if you can. That's why I look for people that I'm going to compete, just for a couple people. And then, man, you better follow that up with some bang up customer service. That needs to be your differentiator. that is, you know, and so now I have people that they only bid out their lanes to me.
Okay.
Because they know that I'm wanting to give them a fair rate. You know, maybe I'm the lowest, maybe I'm not. I don't know. But they know that it's going to get there. They know that there's only service there. And they know they don't have to worry about things. Like, I personally get offended if somebody has to contact me to find out if their load arrived. That's unacceptable. Let them know that their container, that their stuff is arriving. That's been the differentiator for us big time.
Right. Man, that's huge. I mean, customer service. The industrial supplier I used to work for, they have a slogan, and it's probably the best thing that you can ever take on as a business owner. It says, growth through customer service. That's basically saying you service this customer correctly and you're going to grow, whether it's with them because they're growing, or they're going to, you know, word of mouth it to their compadres, and you're going to get business that way. But yeah, no, that's a huge principle, especially for any new business owner or someone thinking about going into business.
And the other advice I would give to anybody starting out is, if you're not failing, you're about to fail big. And what I mean by that is, if you're not reaching out to shippers, and, you know, most of them are going to say no. But if you're not doing that, you're going to fail big time. I see a lot of brokers that enter the game, and they spend all their time talking to other brokers. And I'm thinking to myself, well, are there any loads over there? Definitely not. They're not sharing their loads. So you got, but it's a comfortable thing because you're not getting told no. Well, no, you're not, but you're not going to make any money at all. If you're not failing, you're going to fail big time.
So if you're not failing on a regular basis, if you're not failing on a daily, you're just setting yourself up for a big failure later.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'll take that. I'll definitely take that. Okay. And to continue on this. All right. So 2020 happened. You got let go from the organization. You then found out that warehousing is something that allows people to make money, and you wanted your part into it. So you signed on to a lease and eventually got bought, or the lease got taken over by your neighbor, and you pivoted to becoming a freight broker, where you got your very first customer on your very first day. And you've grown in the container business. Fast forward just a little bit, you know, those stall times on the LA Long Beach port said, you know, we're going to start transitioning more of the containers to come to the Gulf ports and the ports along the Eastern Seaboard. So Savannah, Charleston, and all the way up to Newark and New York began to be real popping. So I'm imagining that you experienced a lot of growth during that time. Is that safe to say?
That would be safe to say. That would be very safe to say. We experienced a lot of growth. In the summer of 2022, we started to really hit some consistency. And it started to grow there and really become a profitable business around that time. Yeah. It was a crazy time, man. What we were seeing was, I guess there is still a, we never experienced anything with the trucking shortage. I never had any problems finding drivers. That was easy. What it turned into being a problem, though, at that time was the warehousing space. There was none. So it got real crazy, my man. We were having to leave containers on yards for 30, 35 days at a time. The bills were becoming astronomical on those per diems. It became nothing for a bill for $50,000 to come across my desk. And it was actually kind of scary. I don't know if you're familiar with the per diem situation at all, but if it doesn't get paid, your drivers aren't allowed back on the port, which makes it so they can't earn money. So you're sitting there waiting for, you know, an $80,000 bill to be paid by your customer. And if it doesn't get paid on time, your driver is, you know, in a really bad spot. So that was scary. But we figured it out. I'm just laughing thinking about all those days.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I never thought about that. But that is that's a lot of power, you know, and or let me say a lot of responsibility on your head. to make sure that these draymen can feed their families. So, you know, yeah, that had to be a lot of pressure. And with the growth, with the astronomical growth, there came a cooling. So when do you say that the cooling really started happening on the container work out of Savannah Port?
It felt like, there was a big lull, actually. There actually was a lull at the end of the summer. I remember that. And I was talking to other people at our, you know, our networking things here. And, you know, they weren't doing anything. And it's continued to this day, really. I think it really picked up. It came back like September. Then it really started to drop again around November, maybe. October, November. And, you know, I'm talking to dispatchers now that are no longer dispatching. I see a lot of, container drayage companies. I see their insurance is lapsing. So they're going out of business. So I've seen that slowdown occurring. We've had to drop our rates, our percentages, to, you know, remain competitive. And, you know, hold on for dear life for every lane that we do have. And, you know, in with our customers, I know people are usually afraid of losing their customer. But they're in the business to make money too, just like you are. And so we reach out to our current customers, you know, hey, do you have any more that we can do? What, you know, do you have a lane that, you know, you think you might be able to get a little bit less on? Let me see. Let me see what I can do. Things like that. Don't be afraid to ask those questions. They're in it to make money and they understand that you are as well. So nobody's going to be upset for asking to do that. So I would recommend that as well.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you mentioned something heavy, which is something that I've also seen myself. I've felt the effects, which is other dispatch companies no longer dispatching. Some of the mom and pop, and some even major carriers having to close their doors, not being able to pay their insurance premiums and things of that nature. So essentially being pushed out of the industry because the freight was so slow. I mean, as a dispatch company, I personally, if you guys don't know how dispatchers get paid, it's commission. You know, you're out here, like the name of this bad boy is saying, forever on the prowl, because you're always looking for the next opportunity so that you can make a commission off of it. You know, that's what it is. And I'd imagine that's the same thing as a startup brokerage. Like, you have to make sure that you have that sustainable money coming in. So yeah, like I said, I've personally felt the effects with the rates, even in domestic truckload, really plummeting. And I think the only thing that I really, I'm not going to say held on to, because I'm definitely a man of faith. I believe that, you know, what's for me is for me, and there's nothing that anything or anyone can do to stop that. But, you know, there is this concept of the basement, the floor, on truckload rates, and, you know, has already hit the floor, and that we're expecting, or we should be expecting, a turnaround. And kind of like the same thing with Savannah Port, you know, we might be saying that it's slower than it was in the summer of 2022, but there, you know, it's way more volume coming into that area than, you know, in any other time, you know, especially in the last few years. So it's still up year over, you know, historically year over year. So it's just, it makes me it just makes me say how, you know, you had to cut your prices. And, you know, are there any other tips, tricks, techniques, or any other ways that it's affected you? Maybe something that if you share, it might save somebody else from going out of business or something of that nature?
No, that's pretty much it. It was cutting the prices and just not being afraid to ask people for the business. That's it. That's all I got. Keep anything you can do yourself, do it yourself. Keep your prices lean. If you don't need to hire somebody, don't hire somebody. You know, all of those things. But that's pretty much it right now. And just be aggressive. You know, I have a saying. I like it's if everybody likes you, you probably suck. And it means if you're not ruffling some feathers, you're not going to be doing a very good job at your whatever it may be. Or you're just you know, always trying to please whatever it may be, but it usually doesn't go well. So you gotta be, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there a little bit, and you don't be afraid to fail. Failing does not make you a failure. It's just failing. We do it every day. Everybody does it. It's fine. But to stop trying, that's when you become a failure.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Okay. Well, I hear you, brother. I hear you. What do you feel like has been your most recent failure that you feel like is going to catapult you towards a successful future?
A little bit what we were discussing the other day on the phone with a warehousing space. I was meeting with a guy today about an idea I had, and he just told me flat out that's not going to work. And he told me why. But we made some changes, and I think that's going to lead to what we actually can do in this new startup venture I'm looking at doing. I think that'll lead to a success, but the original idea is absolutely a failure today, I found out.
Okay.
So, you know.
No, I hear you. I mean, like I said, I've had my fair share of successes and failures, and it's all about how you pivot with that information that you've obtained, acquired. But yeah, okay. Well, bet. What do you see happening for you and your company in the near future, container-wise? Do you think that you are going to be focused strictly on containers, or do you feel as though you might have to open it up in order to expand your company?
No, I definitely feel like we need to open it up to the domestic freight more. If any of your listeners have any sales experience in the freight broker's business, I'd be happy to talk to them about working for us and doing just that. That's a side of the business I have no experience in. But a side I desperately would like to get involved in. It's just not something I know how to do. I've never done it. I don't know those shippers. But we are definitely interested in expanding into that part of the business.
Okay. Look, so this isn't necessarily part of the conversation or the original conversation, but you as a business owner of a newer brokerage, you've had to navigate these waters. You know, if there was a new brokerage that wanted to get freight going, but trucking companies were kind of hesitant, weary even to move freight for them, for they didn't know how they were going to get paid. How do you navigate that? Like, what's that discussion look like with a carrier that you haven't worked with before, but you need them to, you know, move your container with haste?
I'll be honest, Joy, we never had that problem. They were always, heck yeah, we'll take it. So I guess if that's the case, well, let me take that back. So look smaller, go to a smaller carrier. That's what I would do. But make sure you check them on the safer website. You know, you don't want somebody with bad insurance or a bunch of, bad safety instances in the past. But a lot of them are doing a good job because they haven't expanded. Give them a shot. You look, as a new freight broker, you need people to give you a shot. Well, you also need to give people others a shot, and that's what we did. And I'm glad we did that because those people are, putting food on the table now for their families. And they're proud of the work they're doing. So that'd be my recommendation. If you're new, go with a smaller carrier. They're usually looking for freight and they're hungry. That's what we did. But make sure you pay them as quick as you can. However that may be, what we did was we had to lower our profits a little bit early on. We used our factoring company to pay the drivers. We had to take on those fees, all of them, to get the drivers to do what we needed to do immediately. So that's actually, take it back. Get a factoring company. Get a factoring company.
Okay, get a
factory. Now that I think about it. You're going to have to eat some costs. Just know it. You're going to eat it. It is what it is. But then after you get through year one, and so then you can start, other factoring companies will work with your it gets a little, the restrictions ease on you. And you have a little bit of a war chest. So you can pay the drivers yourself if you need to. And then wait for your customer to pay you.
Okay.
So early on, get a factoring company and then save your money and build a war chest.
Okay. Was it challenging to get a factoring company?
No, they're desperate.
Okay. Do you have any that you would recommend for us, a new brokerage that's starting up and needing to get, somebody that can actually give them that sustaining power?
So we work with a company called eCapital. I think they're out of Canada. At least all the phone numbers are Ontario numbers. They gave us, I think, a 2.5% fee, which is pretty low for a new company. So I recommend them. They've been good to us. I have no complaints.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, look, man, I think that for the most part, we've gotten everything out that I wanted to talk about, which is, how is it for in the market for a brand new, broker? We hear the experiences of the carrier and just how everything is tight and how inconsiderate a lot of shippers are with the way that they're squeezing on prices as compared to the cost to actually operate each one of these trucks. You know what I mean? So, but I don't think the perspective was told from the brokerage who at the end of the day is in the spot market. That's what a lot of the smaller freight brokerages are, are affected by the fluctuations. So that's kind of what I wanted to touch on tonight. Did you have anything that you wanted to mention before we closed out?
No, I didn't mention. On those price, what I see on those prices, look, a lot of new trucking companies formed in the last 2 years, a ton of them. Not all of them knew what they were doing. I think I heard somebody went from Savannah to Atlanta. They took a load from one of my carriers. I think they took it for like 800 or something ridiculous like that. Can barely cover the cost of fuel on that. And I'm certain that company's no longer in business, but it's supply and demand. Simple as that. When the freight was high, the drivers were able to command more. And when it's lower, we're back to normal, but there's a huge influx of drivers, the rates are going to drop. Nobody's really, for the most part, the people in charge of those rates for shippers don't have the power to screw the mess with the drivers like you think. They're very responsive to whatever the market is, and the drivers are as well. Nobody's doing wrong to anybody else is what I see in that regard. I will say, though, as far as common courtesy is concerned in this business, though, this industry has a long ways to go. People are very rude to each other, I see. And I think that needs to change. And it doesn't take much to just, do a little semicolon and a parenthesis to make a winky smiley face at somebody in an email, whatever it is. But people just are very, just very, they're very short and very, they're just not polite to people. I think that needs to change in our business big time.
Got you, got you. Okay, well, you know what? I'm happy that you mentioned that, and I pray that those who hear this are able to take heed. Again, I was in a very stuffy environment before I got into logistics, and the people who I deal with now, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air. I mean, I get my grumpy broker that I speak with when I'm calling on a posted load, for sure, for sure. But for the most part, I am very, very pleased with the folks who I speak with on a very regular basis. But yeah, I appreciate you so much for joining us, brother. Everybody, just tune in always on Mondays with as we welcome on the sonar team from FreightWaves. We did recently transition. We had our brother Zach, who had been running the show for nearly a year. That brother's gotten at least four or five promotions, and he was doing it just to still do it. But he's transitioned out, and we have welcomed in another guy by the name of Rick. So we're looking forward to learning and growing with him. Join us next Wednesday as we discuss something a little different. We talk a lot about truckload, domestic truckload, even global logistics when it comes to containers and drayage and all that kind of good stuff. But next week, I think that we're gonna change it up just a bit. We're gonna talk about non-emergency medical vehicles and just what that looks like and possibly how you can even be part. So tune in next Wednesday for that. But that's it. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening in. I appreciate all the continued support. Kips, my guy, thank you so much for joining. And let me know if there's anything I can do to help in the future. All right, brother.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right, you too, sir.